This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
Greetings and salutations. You've successfully arrived at the Bloody Disgusting Network. The passage of time will now bring you to something strange, unique, and idiosyncratic. Have a good time.
There are certain rules that one must abide by in order to successfully survive a horror movie.
Do you want to die, Sydney?
It's your turn to scream, asshole.
From the streets of Woodsboro.
Back to the streets of Woodsboro.
We are Halloweenies!
Greetings and welcome back to yet another episode of Halloweenies, a horror franchise podcast. Oh, a horror franchise podcast. We're getting a little elevated here, as some might call it. Very elegant, as always. Folks, I'm one of your co-hosts, Justin Gerber. Joining me is somebody else with the last name Gerber, and his full name is?
That's Mackenzie Wolfman Mac Gerber.
Great, and we've also got coming in from the... That's great. And we got the Southside Chicagoan who's joining in. His name?
Mike Vanderbilt 3. Die, Mike Vanderbilt, die.
With special guest Jeff Fahey. And then all the way over from New York, Frank Sinatra's own.
This is Dan Dracula : Leatherface Caffrey.
Ah, very, whoa. Very deep. Very, very deep, very, very meaningful. And we are in such... Usually we have our 25-minute introductions, but we've got so much to cover today. We had to limit our bits to 4 in the first minute and 15 seconds because this is a very special episode that we're calling... Get ready for this. Everybody sitting down? Because it's called 2022 Horror and Season 5 Preview. That's right. We're going to be talking about 10 of the more highly anticipated movies to come out this year, at least 10 of the most more or less intriguing movies to come out this year. These are definitely not ranked by any means. Some of them may, in fact, end up being rank singular. And then, of course, at the end, we'll be talking a little bit about what we'll be doing for most of 2022, which is our fifth season, discussing the Evil Dead franchise. But before we do that, We got to talk horror 2022. So we kind of put together a list of about 2020 something movies that are coming out this year, and then we all went through and kind of put X marks by the 10 that we'd be most interested in discussing. If that's the fairest way to put it, possibly, except for Dan Caffrey, who is a replacement on this episode. So Caffrey had no say.
Look,
at all.
My
he was at the behest of us.
My vote for the most horrifying 2020 movie would be The News Cycle. Am I right? Turn it on every day. It's a horror movie. Oh, my God. Shut that's up. Crazy.
Oh, brother.
The Chiron left and right. Things are worse than ever, yeah. As they once said in The Dark Knight, which is not a horror movie. But
somebody's got a piece out there saying how The Dark Knight is really a horror movie. I dare you to look right now.
Oh, good, my good friend. I assure you, if you look up for Matt Reeves' The Batman, people are saying, you know, this is kind of a horror movie, this version of the Dark Knight. So I'll tell you one thing
about that Riddler. He is certainly not my father's Riddler or my Riddler, in fact, because I could technically be somebody's father who would be interested in that film.
Hey, I'm interested Riddler, in that film. I'm excited about that.
I know. And Caffrey, I think you might agree with me.
Hold on.
I think Mac might agree with me, too, and Caffrey. I feel like this Riddler that Paul Dano was playing, this guy's going to be a little fucked up in the head. I feel like this is the one we're going to get. This Riddler's a little more darker, as it were. I think we're going to see him fucked up Batman for once.
I'm with Dan. I'm excited about the Batman I think the new Riddler's riddleicious, and I also think that we're finally going to see the versions of some of these characters that we've all been waiting to see.
Well, I'm just happy that we're finally going to get the Penguin, Catwoman, Carmen Falcone, and the Batman on the big screen.
And the Riddler.
To be honest, I'm most excited. I'm really only watching this movie because so that I can watch the Penguin series on HBO Max.
Well, you have to let me know all about that. But before you let me know all about that, let's talk about the movies we're not going to be talking about, including Sean Ellis's The Cursed, Morbius, a comic book property. You Won't Be Alone. The Northman, which might not even be a horror movie, but Robert Eggers gets pretty intense. You know what I mean? Yeah. He gets pretty intense.
And there's horror people in it. There's horror people.
Of course. And another one of those great, you know, those press releases, the press releases that say, well, you know, this is actually Marvel's horror movie. And I'm talking about Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, a Sam Raimi film.
Interested on Sam Raimi's name alone.
You got 100%. And don't worry, we will be talking about Sam Raimi later on in this episode. We are not absolutely going to be talking about Dark Harvest by David Slade of 30 Days of Night fame, Hannibal fame, and of course, you can't forget, the Twilight Saga Eclipse. We will not be talking about Olivia Wilde's Don't Worry Darling, even though it does look pretty interesting. Florence Pugh, this is going to be her, this is a little more suspenseful, a little more thrilling than Booksmart, although I'll tell you what, High School could be pretty suspenseful. Am I right, folks? We're not going to talk about the return of Dario Argento with his giallo film Dark Glasses. We're not going to be talking about Keith Thomas's Firestarter remake. We're not going to be talking about Justin Simien's Haunted Mansion reboot. Or, I don't know, I'm not sure if they're rebooting the Eddie Murphy film, but they're definitely making another Haunted Mansion movie. And a movie that hasn't even been officially announced, but God bless them, they worked so hard, it could come out tomorrow. Insidious, The Dark Realm, apparently directed by the star of Insidious and the Conjuring films, Patrick Wilson. We will not be discussing Prey, the new Predator film directed by Dan Trachtenberg.
But
we will be talking about these first 10 movies. You know what? We've got the 10 here. We're going to kind of go in chronological order until we get to the to be announced, which is roughly 40% of this list. What we should do is let's give our temperature ratings. Like, where do we stand? And like, so for folks who don't live in the States and don't practice Fahrenheit, practice Celsius, if we said we're at 100 degrees, that means it's really hot. We're really looking forward to this movie a lot. You know what I mean?
It's a good thing. You're saying 100 degrees is a good thing.
If we're at like 10 degrees, it's really ice cold. We have no interest in this movie. You know what I mean? So anything in between, you know, we'll kind of figure it all out from there. But we're looking at this list. Before we really dive into it, God forbid we do anything on time. Matt Gerber, where do you think, how are you feeling about horror this year when you look at the list of movies? And of course, inevitably, there will be some dark horses that aren't even on this list that will come out and will hopefully wow us. How do you feel about this list coming out in 2022?
Honestly, our out of our 10 list, well, first of all, you had me at 100 degrees with Patrick Wilson's Insidious entry, but...
Of course. Should have been talking about that at the top.
On this list, I'm at about a 90%.
Wow, 90%.
Because
90 I degrees, mean, Mac.
Because
me,
think
not
about this. You, yeah, because think about this. We've got all of, it's just fun to have all of these big properties being revisited. I'm talking about you know Evil Dead. I'm talking about Hellraiser and all that kind of stuff. And I just feel like, I don't know if any of it's going to be any good, but I'm at least looking forward to seeing if any of it's good. You know, like there's a lot of landmarks throughout the year now that I'm looking forward to, whereas usually we don't get much of anything until October, if that, and with a couple movies maybe sporadically dropped. I'm at a what did I say, 90?
90 degrees.
90 degrees. It's hot in here.
Let's all keep our clothes on. Come on. Kids might be listening, but not watching. One of our, if not the eternal optimist of the Halloweenies, is Dan Caffrey. And I'm not even going to deign to guess what your temperature is for 2022 in horror. But looking at the list we've got here, where are you coming in at? Dan, you coming in ice cold or icy hot?
Oh, icy. Well, look, you know, I'm really scared about climate change, so I don't want to come in too hot, but I have to. So it's 100 degrees. Look, I always think there's a ton of great content every year. Especially right now that I know we keep joking, like the movies are back, but I've been going to the movies in theaters a lot lately. It's felt really nice. I talked about this in the Halloween Kills episode. It felt great to be in a packed horror theater, just with people howling along to this movie, whether or not they liked it or not. I know that's not going to be the case with all these films. Some of them are smaller, some of them are independent, some of them are going to be screened at home. I would say what could very well end up being the worst movie on this list, I am 100 degrees excited about, and we'll get to it in a little bit. So I think if that doesn't say I'm excited about horror, then I don't know what does. I even just Googled just a joke article that we won't go into about The Dark Knight right now. And something came up unrelated to The Dark Knight, some Finnish horror movie at Sundance called Hatching. And the picture is this little girl with a huge egg on her bed. I have no idea if it's supposed to be good. I don't know what it's about. It just looks cool. I'm excited about horror. I'm excited to be back in theater with people. I know there's variants and all that, and that's a thing. But look, color me excited. I can't give a more enthusiastic answer than that.
Well, look, the movies are back. Vanderbilt, would you agree? Are the movies back?
I mean, I really didn't stop going. I don't know. in discussing temperature, I'm going to have to go with our list. I'm going to go at a strong 70% because all these movies were made after 1996.
That's very true. As we go through, we'll confirm the year in which these were made and the year in which they are coming out. As we know, Vanderbilt, he likes Broken Arrow, but God help us all if we go beyond that. I mean, forget it.
John Woo's last great picture.
By great, you mean greatly disappointing.
Maybe we'll see. But hey, we see music from Broken Arrow pop up in current horror movies all the time. So maybe
it stood the test of time.
What I love the most about it is it takes me back to that Saturday afternoon going to see Broken Arrow and trying to remember through the whole movie, trying to figure out where I knew the chick from. And it was, she was the princess in Mario Brothers.
Now,
she sure was. She was also Gabriel Anwar.
There is a connection to Mr. Wu from one of the films in this. We'll get the 6 degrees, if you will. Right. We'll get there.
Is it 6 degrees of Wu? Didn't Broken Arrow have the Howie scream in it too? The yeah yeah the Mountain Dew
it
scream.
It does. But no, the origin is actually from the ninth configuration.
Interesting. I did not know that. I thought it was. I always thought it was from.
Yes.
But it got used in Broken Arrow, so it got yes. called the Howie scream.
But I thought that was like the Ray Harryhausen scream.
There's the Wilhelm scream, but I think that's way before ninth configuration. So who knows?
Yes, Wilhelm scream is from the 30s or 40s. Yeah.
Broken Arrow is very important and resonates in the culture today.
Yes.
It does. Thank you, Dewey's theme. Or what's it called? Like Brothers or something like that? I can't remember what the
it's called. Brothers. It's now on my 2022. Every year I do I know we're not supposed to use Spotify anymore, but it's just easier for me. Every year I do an oral diary on Spotify where songs that come up at opportunity, at moments in my life, and Brothers off of the Broken Arrow soundtrack is now on there because of inclusion in Five Cream.
And not the War on Drugs song, Brothers, which is also great.
There's a lot of great Brothers songs and Brothers movies, like the Tobey Maguire, Jake Gyllenhaal movie, Brothers. Never saw it. Heard it's great. All right. I can give you my temperature. 75. Okay, let's go into the list here. We've got our 10 movies. Let's start at the very top. Folks, I know you've all got your plans for Valentine's Day on February the 14th. Why don't you hold off until February 18th? Because Mommy and Daddy Netflix have got the movie for you. I'm talking about a movie. Get ready for this title. It's pretty cool. Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Directed by David... I see Vanderbilt laughing. Directed by David Blue Garcia, starring Sarah Yarkin, Elsie Fisher of 8th grade fame, and Castle Rock fame. Nell Hudson and Olsen Furry. I hope I pronounced that correctly. She was in, of course, the film Mandy by Cosmatos, not George P. Cosmatos, but his son. This premise is Melody, her teenage sister Lila, and their friends Dante and Ruth head to the remote town of Harlow, Texas for business. However, things turn into a nightmare when they accidentally disrupt the home of Leatherface, the deranged serial killer. Matt Gerber, What was the last Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie you saw?
I saw Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3D, right?
Okay.
In theaters, sure. With I believe you and Mike, maybe?
Dan, were you there as well? Dan
maybe
Catherine?
It was Dan. I can't remember.
I was, yeah. Yeah, I was with you guys. Yeah, because we were laughing. Go get him.
Go get him, cuz. Yes. And I got to say, you know, even though I didn't think that movie was very good, I still had a blast. I was one of those hooting and hollering fellers in the theater that Dan loves so much. But yeah, that was the last chainsaw flick that I saw, except for rewatching two for our commentary the other month. But yeah, I personally, you know, always happy to see Leatherface back. Now, I have a question. What is this? Is this a requel, sequel?
Well, much all I can tell you right now.
Okay.
This is much like Texas Chainsaw 3D was a quote-unquote direct sequel to the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre. This is also a direct sequel to Texas Chainsaw Massacre 1974, right? Isn't that the first one, the original?
74? Yeah. Although it's weird because the first one has chainsaw as two separate words, which
man,
I always thought was
you
really strange.
You took the words right out of my mouth, Dan Cameron. Yep. That's why I don't trust this fucking movie from the get-go because they couldn't even get the title right.
No,
it's weird.
If you were reading an article online, let's say at one of the many great online critical sites that we have these days, and like there was a typo in the headline, how would you feel about the rest of that article going into it? You're automatically, your guard is up.
Well, two things. I believe in the years since, they made chainsaw one word in the dictionary. Am I correct? Is it an urban legend? Am I forgetting that? Is it a Mandela effect situation?
I don't know, because here's the thing. Because the Ramones have that song Chainsaw, which is inspired by Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
And they mispronounce massacre.
Yeah, they do. They mispronounce a lot of stuff. But they also spell
it's a strong New York accent.
Two words. But then Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2, it's one word, which is, I think, how it should be spelled. And this is funny, too, because the first one is the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yes.
This is just Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Well, because here's the reason why, I think, because the original is the definitive. And this is just, that's a Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie. You know, they're not really they're not trying to double down on the definitive version. it's a Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie, sure. Okay, so anyway, once again, it dismisses all the other 85 movies and remakes and everything else, taking little steps from Little Halloween 2018, maybe. But apparently, this is going to have Sally back as an older woman. Obviously, it's been 50 years, so she's going to be in this as well. I think that is the character that's being played by the actor Olsen Fuori. God, I hope I'm pronouncing it right. She was in Mandy, if you know what I'm talking about. This was filmed in Bulgaria. There was a lot of interesting things
on
IMDb trivia.
When I think of the Deep South, I think of little brisket, little Big Red soda, or no, is it? Big Red, you know, the bubblegum one, and Bulgaria.
Good alliteration, at least.
Wasn't Crawl filmed in Bulgaria, which is also the South, kind of? But was it not Bulgaria? It was some like European country.
I think you might be right, but to be fair, it was South Bulgaria. So, you know, they're trying to keep it consistent, at least. Bulgaria is the least of my worries, to be totally honest with you. IMDb trivia had some very, I'll put it this way. I believe, sometimes you look at IMDb trivia and you call bullshit. The trivia on this was pretty well written. I think that it was all very true. But somehow a lot of that is now gone. And let's just say that the early reviews, the early test audiences, were not very favorable when it comes to this film that's coming out. But, you know, look, it's produced by Fede Alvarez, who directed a movie that we'll be talking about later on this year. He also is credited for the co-story. Now, that co-story might very well be, well, let's just get rid of the other 8 movies and pick up 50 years later. I mean, that counts. That's a story. I just told you a story.
Give me my check.
Give me my check, Netflix. Carte blanche. Yeah, I feel like Netflix had like Ozark and Texas Chainsaw Massacre at the very top of their...
Netflix, more like
Check Flicks. We got to make sure this gets it right.
More like Check Flicks, the way they're putting out these movies, huh?
Check Flicks, two words. So, you know what? I have not even seen... It's called Leatherface, right? The prequel that came out a couple years ago.
Yeah,
I saw that one.
I thought it was pretty good. I actually thought that was pretty decent.
It's fine. Like the twists and turns it takes are pretty cool.
Yeah, that was a straight to video. That was not straight to video.
That's probably 40? Yes.
When did that come out?
The third or fourth best
2019, I think, or 2017 maybe.
That was a few years ago.
I'd put it above 3D Next Generation and the other Leatherface. I don't know. I thought it was. I mean, it's not amazing, but it was one of those better than it had any right to be kind of movies. No, what's interesting about this one, though, I just found out, is Colin Stetson's doing the music, which that's a plus. Like, he's super avant-garde.
I can't believe that.
I don't know, man. It's funny because I am excited for this movie. This is what I meant when I said, the film I'm most excited about could very well be the worst. I mean, I'm excited just because it is a new Texas Chainsaw.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Halloween Ends.
No.
I really did. I thought that's what you're going for.
Rock, dude. But I will say this. I was reading just the most recent interviews, and none of the filmmakers are really saying anything about like the story or the progressive nature of the plot. Everything's just been, we had the original Chainsaw on set and I touched it every day for good energy. And, we got John Larroquette. All it's doing is doing references to the old. We're really excited about all these 70s references it has, which who knows? Maybe they're just trying to play the cards close to the chest. But I worry that the movie's only appeal is going to be Easter eggs. That being said, I'm still very excited for it.
I have an answer on the dictionary thing.
Ah, yes, please.
Merriam-Webster's dictionary still has it as two separate words. Now, my thought is that because of the connection with this film and giving chainsaws bad name, they've decided to make it one word so it was a separate entity from the actual chainsaw so that chainsaw distributors will go untarnished.
Well, here's the confusion, Matt, because I'm looking at Macmillan Dictionary and chainsaw is one word.
But I mean, why are we going to different dictionaries? Why aren't you just reading the Merriam-Webster Dictionary like I was?
You know, color's got a U. You know what I mean? Words are in flux. That's what I always say. They're always moving around, changing around. So you never know. Texas Chainsaw Massacre coming out February 18th. Mercifully, going to be dropped right there on Netflix so we can watch it. We don't have to worry about do I want to pay $20 to see this? No, you just watch it on Netflix. It's right there.
Did you watch the trailer, Dustin?
I did not. And I'm not going to. I'm going to go into this as cold as it probably is in Bulgaria.
Well, I got to say, I watched the trailer again right before this. And I'll be damned if it doesn't look exactly like every Texas Chainsaw movie that's come out in the last 20 years.
Well, honestly, really does. Very excited.
But I honestly, you could put footage from all the last three or four movies, and I would not be able to distinguish which was which.
You know, I will say this about Bulgaria before we get off topic. People are listening in Bulgaria, thank you, first of all. The climate is generally continental with cold winters and warm to hot summers. So maybe they filmed this in the heat of the summer up in Bulgaria, over in Bulgaria, I should say. We'll find out on February 18th. Next up, now this is one I'm actually genuinely interested in because it's been a while since its director has delivered a horror movie. He had been busy. He directed a couple episodes, ironically enough, of the Scream TV series, which I was shocked to see when I was watching it a couple years ago. His last movie was actually, I thought, pretty good. It was a Western called In the Valley of Violence with Ethan Hawke and John Travolta, who gives a genuinely fun, good performance in that, by the way. The director.
There's your connection.
Oh, there we go. The director is Ty West. The movie is X, coming out in only a couple months, March 18th. Now, Ty West, of course, directed House of the Devil, The Sacrament, The Innkeepers. He did Cabin Fever 2, but that was kind of taken away from him. He does not like to claim that movie. He also did a movie, if one of you three know this, what was the movie with Tom Noonan that he did when he was really young? It's, I think, Turkey's in the title.
There's Trigger Man and The Roost.
The Roost, the that's
Roost,
the one.
Yeah.
Not to be confused with the meal actor, by the way.
Turkey.
Well, you know, you got Roost, Turkey. What else are we talking about here? The Turkey Roost. So let's talk about this. The trailer has dropped for this, and once again, I did not watch it.
Hey, I watched this one.
I'm not trustworthy of trailers. So Vanderbilt, what do you think?
Let me tell you, this one also looks like every other Texas Chainsaw Massacre. movie has ever come out. But in
It's funny, Mike, because here's the premise. At a secluded farmhouse in Texas.
Bulgaria.
But it was filmed in Texas.
But I mean,
a film crew arrives to shoot an adult film. Ooh, yes. Their hosts, a reclusive elderly couple, take a special interest in their young guests. As night falls, the couple's leering interest turns violent. I'm 100% in on this one.
I was joking about it looking like Texas Chainsaw Massacre, but Ty West movies are always kind of resemble something else that came before them, but they're always usually interesting. Like, I really like this film, The Sacrament, which is pretty much just a fictionalized telling of the Jonestown Massacre.
100%. Yeah.
But it was tense and it was cool and it was good. And I like this one bringing in the adult film element.
Mm-hmm.
My friends and I, we did a trailer for one of those trauma trailer exploitation collections called Don't Pull Out. That was about a porno crew filming a horror movie that was more giallo influenced. So I'm here for it. I think it looks kind of cool.
I'm ready for this too. Yeah. Mac, what do you think?
Well, I was in watching Scream again on the big screen, and this trailer popped up, and it was right after I had read from Randall and y'all that the trailer gave too much away. So I was watching it, but I was looking away. I was looking to the left. I was looking to the right. I was listening to it, but I was trying not to pay attention to it too much. From what I did see, I thought looked pretty fun. I don't think they go too far, but, you know, we watch so many movies, we can put these things together if you watch the trailer too many times. I was happy to see that my MVP from Scream is in it, Jenna Ortega.
That's right, good cast. Sister. Mia Goth is in this, Brittany Snow, and Kid Cudi. Kid Cudi is in this.
A huge Cutter fan, and he's been doing a lot of great horror work lately, I think, on Creepshow. And for real, I really do like I like his music, I like his acting. I hear he's great in Jim White, which I've never seen. I hear it's an awesome movie.
James White.
I'm definitely looking forward to it.
Did I say Jim White?
You said Jim White.
Well, him and I are friends. So, yeah, you know, Ricky Dreyfuss, Jimmy White, Marty Scorsese, and I all hanging out at what's that Italian restaurant in Hollywood?
I was going to say
The Olive Garden.
Dantana's, is that what it's called? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Dantana's. Dantana's.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, Harry Dean Stanton playing piano in the corner.
Yeah.
Oh, so Dan, into this movie?
Yeah, it's Ty West. I haven't seen The Valley of Violence, but I did rewatch Devil's Rejects, House of the Devil, in October with our friend Casey Bentley, and man, that holds up. And I hear what you mean. I haven't watched the trailer yet. I hear what you mean about it looks like Texas Chainsaw, but I do feel like he is such a stylist, and he borrows from the past in the right way that I'm excited about this film.
Mac?
I think the reason it looks like Texas Chainsaw is that it was shot in New Zealand.
I love this. Let's go. I mean, to be fair,
yeah.
Probable best picture nominee, The Power of the Dog, also shot over there in New Zealand, I believe.
New Zealand's got a lot of West.
Take place in the West. Yeah.
It is very cheap right now to shoot in New Zealand. As we know, you know, The Evil Dead, Ash vs. the Evil Dead shot in New Zealand primarily.
And a movie that we'll be talking about later on in this list. Also filmed in New Zealand, so keep that in mind too.
You know,
look, I'm all in on this. I can't wait. I'm looking forward to this. I've been looking forward to the Ty West movie for years. It's been years since a Ty West movie came out.
Dan doing well. I was going to say Dan mentioned Devil's Rejects. Like, it definitely has like it looks like a more stylish version of a Rob Zombie movie.
Low bar to
I like Rob. I think I like Rob Zombie more than a lot of people.
At least me. At least you like him more than at least me. But guess what? We'll be talking about Mr. Zombie later on in this episode. But before we get to him, you know, I mentioned Ethan Hawke in Ty West's In the Valley of Violence. But he's going to be in a horror movie this year called The Black Phone, which comes out on June 24th, directed by Scott Derrickson, who did Sinister with Mr. Hawke. It was also, I believe, co-written by C. Robert Cargill, who wrote Sinister with Ethan Hawke. And this movie also stars Mason Thames, the always reliable Jeremy Davies, and the great James Ransone, who was also in Sinister. This is what I've been told. Here's the plot, folks. Finney Shaw, a shy but clever 13-year-old boy, is abducted by a sadistic killer and trapped in a soundproof basement where screaming is of little use. When the disconnected phone on the wall begins to ring, Finney discovers that he can hear the voices of the killer's previous victims. Now, this is also, I should say, based on a short story found in 20th Century Ghosts by Dan?
Mr. Joseph Hill, and son of Stephen King.
So I'm sure you've read that short story of all of us, right?
I have. It's funny. I think I've read all of Joe Hill's work at this point. It's a great short story collection, but we were talking about this over at the Losers Club, me and Jen. I can't remember this short story at all. I think what happens too in a collection where every single story is a banger, in a weird way, a lot of them kind of take over the memory of the other ones, if that makes sense. Like, there's three stories I remember from that collection so well, and this is not one of them. But I am excited about it because I don't remember there being a dud in the bunch, and I think it's got an awesome team behind it. More Ethan Hawke and more horror movies, please. I think he like brings like genuine complexity to the roles he's in. I love Sinister, so yeah. Another one I'm excited. Hey man, I'm 3 for 3 so far. Excited about all three of these movies.
Hey, Ethan Hawke, he commits. I've never seen Ethan Hawke sleepwalk his way through a movie, even if everybody else in the production might be.
What about Sleepers?
Ethan Hawke?
Stupid.
Oh my god. All right, well, Dan, there's the please. Yes, the sly whistle for that one. Dan, you got one over me this time.
Wait, is he not in Sleepers? Son of a bitch. He's not even in fucking in Sleepers.
I don't think he's in Sleepers. That's why I was really confused for a second.
I was really confused by your
Marone.
I think Brad Pitt sort of looks like young Ethan Hawke in Sleepers.
Yeah, I think you got the contacts in that one.
Nuts.
Mac, what about you? What do you think about the black phone? First of all, you had a red phone for a long time. Your thoughts on black phones?
Love black phones. Love red phones. I've got my red phone. I'm looking at it right now. I'm looking forward to this. I saw the trailer, and I agree with y'all. I think Ethan Hawke always delivers. Looking forward to Moon Knight. Hellraiser. Nice plug for now, Disney+. Scott Derrickson's Hellraiser Inferno. I've come around on that film in recent years after six other films came out after that, though. They weren't very good. But I'm excited to watch Sinister because Dan praises it, and now I have Prime again and I can watch it. I'm going to watch Sinister 2, which was produced by.
I think the Sinister distribution model is kind of sinister because that thing's popping over. It's on Showtime for a minute, then it's on Stars, and it's over here on Netflix. It's jumping all over the place.
I can't hold it down, so I got to watch it soon. But yeah, the trailer looks pretty good. I'm not a big fan of the idea of the phone and the... My whole thing is I don't want it to get really sentimental and sappy with the previous victim stuff. Like, just be scary. I don't need the ghosts of the previous victims like ganging up on him at the end. Like, this is a Decemberist song, okay?
Mac, I don't think this is hug me horror. Hashtag hug me horror. Vanderbilt,
I hope not.
I hope not.
I hope not. I want it to be pretty terrifying.
The concept looks cool, if a little like overused. It reminds me of the last season of True Detective. It reminds me of Stephen King's. It reminds me of The Outsider. I joke about not liking movies made after 1996, but now it seems so many horror movies have to be a period piece set in the late 70s, early 80s, because so much of technology prevents certain things from happening. But I'll tell you why I'm looking forward to this. Now, the trailer does look pretty good, but I like see Robert Cargo as a writer. I appreciate that he's on Twitter, like doling out that advice for young writers on a daily basis. So I think he's just an all around good dude, and I'm looking forward to see what he brings to this movie.
Yes, I would agree with everything you just said, especially about Mr. Cargill, a beacon of positivity on that wasteland that can be Twitter often. I've enjoyed what I've read of 20th Century Ghosts. As a matter of fact, this is the next story for me to read, is The Black Phone. And I started that damn collection 2 years ago. Got a little distracted by the pandemic, and I haven't gone back to finish it yet. But look, I'm in on this one, too. I'm looking forward to this movie. Mac, your birthday is only a couple days before, but we might have to ditch whatever party plans you've got to go see The Black Phone at our local AMC.
I've already got my ticket to purchase. They're holding two at the front desk for me.
Well, hopefully they got a couple more. I don't want to go just a few.
I'm laughing at our local AMC.
These weird plugs. We plugged Disney Plus, AMC, and all those streaming services so far. Hey. We've only been going for 33 minutes.
Kidnapping kids feels good in your local AMC.
That's right. Well, especially here in this city. There's no way to transition out of that. So let's transition to this. Nope. July 22nd. Now, this is, of course, 20 days after my father's 68th birthday. So keep that in mind.
Mark your calendars, directed, listeners.
I'm sure they already did, of course. Directed by the great Jordan Peele, starring Daniel Kaluuya, Kiki Palmer, Steven Yeun. And folks, haven't seen him in decades. Thrilled he's back. Michael Wincott is going to be in this movie. I couldn't believe it.
Here's the great thing about this movie. I thought he was not with us just because it's been a minute. No, because he was also in
Westworld on HBO.
I didn't finish Westworld. I love Caffrey.
Caffrey, you're thinking about Tom Sizemore. Yeah. A new terror from the mind of the Academy Award.
No, he's alive,
but let's be honest. A new terror from the mind of Academy Award winner Jordan Peele. Guess what? I know nothing about this movie. Isn't this great? Don't you love it?
I feel like there's two people,
and correct me if I'm wrong. There are now two people in the film industry who you don't have to know anything about the movies going in, and they're kind of like their own IP. You know what I mean? They go past Marvel or Star Wars or any of their IP. Christopher Nolan and Jordan Peele. I feel like if people know there's a Christopher Nolan movie coming out, they're automatically going to be just intrigued to go see it. Same with Jordan Peele, I feel like, at this point. I don't know how much he's going to give away of this plot. Right now, Matt, you made a great observation about the poster, because the poster is this, kind of looks like a small town in a mountain region, or at least a very hilly region, and there's a dark cloud above with a kite. And Mac, what was the comparison you made to that cloud in the sky with the kite?
And the
flags hanging down off of it.
Now, just like when with the Blumhouse release of Blair Witch, it was originally called The Woods. I think Nope is secretly going to be revealed that at some point that this is Back to the Future 4. As we all know, at the end of Back to the Future 2, the DeLorean is hovering above the street with a very similar flag trail, kite trail down from the DeLorean. And it could be very well hiding in that cloud. Now, I don't think that's really happening. I don't know what's going on with this film. I know when I first saw the poster, I thought it was a Pixar film. having said all of that, I love Get Out. I really enjoyed Us. Yes. And I'm really intrigued. I mean, I think you're right, Justin. Jordan Peele is one of those guys where I don't need to know anything about this movie other than this poster. I'm already interested in seeing it. I would love to just sit down in a theater only having seen this poster and just seeing, you know, what's going to happen.
Mac, what was your other alternate title for this again?
Oh, it was Kite Cloud. I laugh
Kite
because
cloud.
I'm genuinely interested and excited about this movie, but it just made me, you know, I think most of the things that we love I think we love to make fun of and tear down.
Oh yeah,
we
absolutely
love them.
Look,
so
I listen
much.
You know me, I would much rather hear a great bad joke than a great joke every single time. Let's rock and roll. Vanderbilt, your thoughts on Kite Cloud, July 22nd.
I was a big fan of Get Out. I really thought, I was really impressed with that. I thought it was very cool. I thought it was like one of the better horror comedies this side of An American Werewolf in London. I remember comparing it to that when it came out, because like it was funny, despite what some people would say. It is satire. It's a very dark kind of comedy though. But I was disappointed with Us. I thought that was a misstep, and I was disappointed with his not that he really had much to do with aside from being the producer with his Twilight Zone reboot. So I would say cautiously optimistic, but definitely intrigued, because to your points that you were making that we don't know anything about it. We've just got this poster in the cast.
Well, you know what happened? We reached out to his representatives and asking, can we please get the premise? And you know what they told me?
Nope. Justin, I'm glad you made that pun, because I hope it's good. And I'm with Vanderbilt. I didn't hate Us, but I had mixed feelings on it. this is going to be one of those movies, if it's not good, you know, a bunch of asshole critics are just going to be saying like, oh, Nope lives up to its title. Or if it's really good and really scary, you know, people on Twitter just be like, Nope. Because, you know, the thing they do when they, Nope. Oh, a clown. Nope.
Not today, Jesus.
Let me add something to that too. Like, nope. Even Jordan Peele has said that he doesn't want to be known as the guy who only makes important, socially conscious horror movies. And I don't think that's what he was trying to do with Us, but there were so many reviews that tried to look for something that I don't think was there. So I'm curious to see how he responds to that with this.
But I mean, this almost, we're looking at this and thinking, okay, well, Us and Get Out were very like serious horror films that took themselves seriously. Why do we think from the name Nope that this is going to be not like a horror comedy or something? You know what I mean? Like, right. because he doesn't want to get pegged as that, it's very possible that, you know, this could just be like a fun horror movie. And I'd be down with that too. You know, I mean, I'm sorry, like Jordan Peele, like very, very funny human being, in charge of a horror property, a horror comedy that could work. And that's a hard line to walk, but I would trust it in his hands.
It would certainly work better than the other big, comedy guys who are taking a stab at the horror film franchises these days, huh?
Wait, was that a pun?
Not really. I was just making fun of Halloween again.
Oh, you said stab.
I was staying on brand for the show. Come on. I was just talking shit.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey, listen, I love the Righteous Gemstones is doing terrific this year. Love what the Halloween gang is doing over there. I wish they'd stay in that county where the Gemstone churches are right now, but God bless them. We'll talk about them in a moment. But before we get there, there's a signpost up ahead, much like Jordan Peele's Twilight Zone, and the signpost says 10 miles to Salem's Lot, September 9th, directed by definitely a writer-director, Gary Dauberman. Starring the always reliable, listen, this is a solid cast, folks. Bill Camp, William Sadler, Alfre Woodard, and of course, Pilo Asbeck, who was in Game of Thrones. If you saw him, you know who we're talking about.
Very good.
Here's the premise for all of you non-Stephen King heads out there. A writer returns to his hometown and discovers that the residents are being turned into vampires. Look, I love the book Salem's Lot. Very good. One of my first King books I ever read when I was a young boy, decades upon decades ago at this point. I always liked the Tobe Hooper TV miniseries. Some great images in that movie, in that miniseries. Wasn't so high on the TNT Rob Lowe version.
I forgot all about that.
It's not good.
Yeah, a lot of people have Vanderbilt. You're not alone.
I still can't believe that the Chappaway guys, because I love Chappaway, and it feels like such a different thing to me.
Well, you know, you think you live and learn. 20 years later, you know, lots changed, I'm sure, in their own career.
More freedom, for sure.
Yeah. My one concern is that this is the guy who wrote and directed this is the guy who does kind of funhouse horror, like the Annabelle movies, the Conjuring films. For me, Salem's Lot works best as this kind of quiet takeover of a town. I'm not sure, and as I say this, some of the scariest parts in Salem's Lot, the Tobe Hooper one, are like the jump scares, but I feel like this property works best as kind of like a quieter entry, not a bunch of people, like vampires screaming or jumping out of the blue. You know what I mean? Mac, what do you think about this particular entry, this upcoming entry of Salem's Lot?
I think the cast is really promising. I'm about 50 degrees on this, because the cast balances out Dauberman's involvement. I just really don't think he's a good screenwriter. Now, Dan, he developed, maybe it looks like he only did the teleplay, but I'm thinking of
Swamp Thing, which was great.
Did you like that?
And look, I love it, man. And I love it. I love it. Chapter 2. I'm like, I know I defend that a lot. But look, you know, I haven't seen Annabelle.
He's that.
You have to remember he's directing this too, and I think the only directing credit he has is Annabelle Comes Home, which was very fun.
I saw that with Randall Colburn of the Losers Club. Yeah. He's been on this podcast too. It was a lot of fun watching that movie. It's just a dumb, goofy haunted house movie. Essentially, it's PG-13. It's kind of tame.
But was it? Yeah. I didn't leave that movie thinking,
God, I hope he gets Salem's Lot. You know, it wasn't one of those experiences.
Well, no, what's interesting is that I know we joke sometimes about elevated horror, but look, I like a lot of elevated horror, and I feel like with a book like Salem's Lot, I kind of want one of the elevated horror guys to be handling it for real. I mean, I want someone who can really get that character development going and work with a large ensemble cast. I'm not saying it won't be good. Like I said, I liked it chapter two and I love Swamp Thing. And so I'm not completely out on Gary Dauberman. But when I think about what I love about Salem's Lot, you almost want like the horror movie version of Robert Altman or someone to do it, which I don't know who that is. But I'm excited.
Paul Thomas Anderson.
Yeah,
what a great swing that would be if he had done that.
Oh man, and I mean, I am excited for it. I just because it sounds a lot. It's my favorite King book. Look, I will say I don't think any of the adaptations though have used the apostrophe at the front of the S because it's short for Jerusalem's Lot, and this one's not doing it either. I'm not. I don't mean to get hung up on titles tonight, but it pisses me off. God damn it!
It really infuriated me initially. I'm kidding. It didn't really infuriate me. All right, hey, before we because I think Mac and Dan, I know this, but no joke, Vanderbilt. What was the original title to Salem's Lot when King was writing it? Do you know the answer?
It's not Lot 249, is it?
No, that would be... That's
Thomas Pynchon.
Lot 49, Thomas Pynchon. Speaking of PTA. it was called Second Coming.
Yeah.
I saw a movie called Second Coming. It was very different, though.
I bet you it was. I'll guarantee you it was. So what do you what's your temperature on Salem's Lot? Of course, the temperature being a very, loose a bit
it's
that we've been doing for the last
4 years. It's going to be hard to top that Toby Hooper miniseries. Mm-hmm. I never read the book, so I don't know how faithful that miniseries is to the book, but that miniseries is terrifying. Such great performances from David Soul and
James Mason.
You can't do the master. Thunderbird wine has a very unique flavor all of the time.
Early Fred James Willard Mason. In it, too.
Yeah,
that's right. Fred Willard. It's going to be hard to top that, so I'm down on the cold side for this one. Maybe a 10. Is it a theatrical film?
Oh, yeah. It's going to be... I think it's a big release. I mean, they're going to be... Warner Bros. Is going to be promoting the hell out of this as, you know, from the makers of It and everything else going on.
I just feel like they're going to muck it up with a bunch of special effects that don't need to be there. That vampire is 100% cool in that first movie.
Well, you know what's fascinating, though, Vanderbilt, is that... Go ahead, Mac.
I was just going to say, I'm sure we're going to get, like, the reveal of the Barlow vampire. I don't know which version they're doing in this one, but if we get the Barlow vampire reveal to Fox on the Run.
Another weird music drop.
They
needle
just
drop.
Have these weird music drops and needle drops.
See, I would love that. I'd be into that.
Well, Vanderbilt, Barlow, the vampire in the book, is much more of a Dracula character. He talks, he looks like a normal person.
Right.
Whereas they made him Nosferatu and speechless
in
the Toby Hooper version, which was obviously a huge change.
Yeah.
But I think that change worked pretty damn good in that movie.
Okay.
Because, I mean, look, here's what I'm like. You got fucking James Mason over here as his assistant. You don't need to have some other great actor. You got fucking James Mason here doing all the great dialogue. You don't need this other guy. So, of course, I'm going to go see this. Am I optimistic? I cannot sit here and tell you yes. I would say... I am slightly more optimistic about this movie than our next movie. And it's coming out 2 days before my birthday, October 14th. It's a film by...
Happy birthday to you.
Thank you very much.
I think on the day this comes out, it's everyone's birthday. Let's just put that out.
It was born again, as it were. Directed by David Gordon Green, starring Jamie Lee Curtis, Andy Matichek, Kyle Richards, and, of course, returning champion Will Patton.
Hey, I just heard from an inside source. Evil may die tonight. In Halloween,
Halloween
or at least in the late afternoon.
Listen to this rich tagline or the rich premise here. The saga of Michael Myers and Laurie Strode comes to an end. Again.
There needs to be a question mark at the end.
I will say this. I saw there's a new promo photo because they just started filming of Jamie Lee Curtis, Andy Matichek, and Kyle Richards. And I was reminded that my favorite part, no joke, of Halloween Kills was all the Kyle Richards stuff. Because she's coming back again as Lindsay. What's that?
Were you fucking with us?
No, I thought that was the best stuff.
No. Yeah, I think we were all on Unity on that.
I was like, well, let's spend more time with this character who we have not spent time with for 45 years, as opposed to these other characters who we have spent time with in various iterations over the last 45 years. So, you know, if we get a little more screen time for her, it takes place 4 years later. So it takes place in 2022, the year, of course, in which this is going to be coming out. So you're distancing yourself from the first two. You can kind of do a fresh take on whatever is going on. Maybe it won't even be in Haddonfield, although that bar looks like the same bar that they were at in the last one. So maybe they'll have again.
I know. I think from what I remember, Vanderbilt and I were, because y'all are bringing up, oh, why don't these people just leave Haddonfield? And Vanderbilt and I were like, no, it makes sense that you traumatized people would stay where they are. If they don't get out after Halloween Kills, though, I mean,
thank you, Dan. I guess it only takes two massacres in a town for you to move, but
I mean, I've seen that movie.
I don't want to say you're asking for it at that point, but you're kind of asking for it at that point.
I've watched Halloween Kills about five times, and during one of the times I counted how many people. When it was on Peacock, I only saw it twice in theaters. But I counted on my fingers how many people were dying. I should have written it down, but it was definitely over 30. So I think when over 30 people die, not counting all the people that died in the 70s, I think it's maybe time to pack it up and maybe go to, I don't know, Northern California.
Shut that town down. Shut it down.
At least you do.
Private school. Yeah.
At least leave town for 360, or at least for one night. Just leave town on Halloween.
I have a question about Michael Myers on... after Halloween Kills. Why does he leave for 4 years and come back arbitrarily?
Oh, who knows?
I think he's been doing that for years. He was pretty hurt, so I think he needs to
go.
So
he's not supernatural.
Yeah, I mean, it's realistic. He's gonna go hop into
back the tank.
That's what I was gonna say. I think he needs to go
visit Dr. Death
with the Weapon X project and you know, feeding that tank.
No, here's what I heard. I heard he's gonna pass out in this creek and then wake up and there's gonna be a hermit there, and he's gonna stay with the hermit for a year and then for 4 years and then wake up with the Mark of Thorn.
Well, you know,
we're back. The Mark of Thorn is back for Halloween Ends.
There's a reason why we all need to watch the Batman. Because I heard that Myers is going to show up in Ra's al Ghul's resurrection pit. No.
All right, listen. It's my fault for making the Batman jokes to the beginning. I take full responsibility.
Let me go on record that I hate the 4 year time jump, and I'm still mad that they didn't keep the original ending for Halloween Kills.
I know
that ending was cool. I watched it on Amazon. It was good.
Okay, I have a question for you, Caffrey. So I know they've got the Blu-ray, the Steelbook has come out. You know the Steelbook has come out. Yeah. Now, is the alternate ending the actual new ending on there, or is it a separate feature?
Oh, so I don't know. I just watched the ending. If I'm being quite honest, someone ripped it off the Amazon stream.
I just watched it
on YouTube.
Yeah, that's where I saw it.
So the ending I saw was exactly like the one in the screenplay. It's, I mean, honestly, it's the same. The way they did it in the theatrical release, it's literally just cutting off before she calls, or before Michael picks up and she hears the breathing, and then you see her walk out of the hospital. So, I get why they didn't do that once they decided to do the time jump. I still think it just adds more urgency and is a little bit more satisfying than the one we did get. I don't know. I was anti time jump. I am wondering though now if it maybe because you can't really escalate Halloween Kills. Whether or not you liked the movie, you cannot really go more than that. I don't think. Yeah. I mean, some might argue it already did. You know, go jump the shark, as they say. So I do think, and I love that movie, but I do think that the distance and the slowing down might allow the movie to end on a higher note, and or at least a more universally accepted note. Because from as awesome as it did at the box office, it was pretty polarizing,
Dan,
for fans.
Do you think this movie is gonna be a straight drama where Michael bumps into Laurie on the street, and they just have like a conversation in a diner for 2 hours?
Was this Manchester by the Sea?
They're like, he's like, you know, I thought about it, and those podcasters were right.
Here's what I'll say. Here's what I'll say. It was a lot more, January was a lot more fun you know, covering Scream, because I think we all genuinely liked the new Scream
movie.
Yeah,
we were in consensus for like the first time ever,
But I think last October was tough because a lot of us did not like Halloween Kills at all. And so that made it kind of like a slog of a month to have to kind of be so negative about the
podcast. Depends. It was a great month for me. I loved it.
I gave that movie 3 stars out of 4.
You did, but Vanderbilt, every time you said it, there's always a caveat. well, here's the thing. caveat laden 3 out of 4.
If you think about it this way.
Okay, so it's gonna be your October coverage, baby. Halloween
ends. I'm fucking
ends.
Stoked, man. I had like one of the best Octobers ever for lots of reasons, and
well, it was my birthday. I appreciate it.
Yeah, Justin's birthday first. Halloween Kills right after that.
Oh, I got to sit in between these guys in the theater though. That was a real treat.
We were laughing a lot though. To be fair, we were having
a good time.
You know, I love you guys.
I was not being facetious. I had a blast in that theater that afternoon.
You know, I love you guys, and that I miss being able to hang out with you in person all the time and everything. I am so glad I didn't see it with you. That would have been
I think you would have still been able to enjoy it, Dan. But I missed.
Oh, we weren't talking.
I missed Dan's stern looks and shushes.
the movie. The best was, I don't know if we even mentioned it on the show, but Rothman running out of the place and then the three of us kind of hanging out and then the publicist walking up. Do you guys have anything to say, good or bad?
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, that's
she was
funny.
Kind of defeated the best. She was like, I don't know about this one.
I stuck around. I was like, I'll take this.
Yes.
Rothman's vomiting in the bathroom.
Oh, God.
It was a high movie I've seen this year.
It was a bloody body count, to be fair. It was pretty disgusting.
Dude, my wife loves it. She's like, that was the most fucking fun like I've had at the movies all year. So, and she hates like a lot of those Halloween movies. So anyway, we should
take that as you will, listeners. She hates movies. She liked this one. Next up on the list is a movie that has actually caused a bit of a positive stir at the Sundance Film Festival. And, you know, I had the review pulled up, but then I Googled Bulgaria hot. So now I got to find it again.
What else is coming up on Bulgaria hot, though, Justin?
Yeah, to be fair, I had my safe search on, thank God. But the movie's called Watcher, and it's directed by Chloe Okuno, who did one of the entries on the XX anthology horror films, the horror anthology that came out a couple years ago. This is starring Maika Monroe, who was in one of my favorite horror movies of the last decade, It Follows, which I don't know if you listen carefully on the Scream film, was name checked at the very beginning. The movie was name checked. The movie It Follows.
Oh, It Follows. Yes, of course. Yeah, starring, and The Guest also.
Of course, The Guest is also awesome. Yes, and this is also going to be starring Bern Gorman, who's been in a lot of things. But let's go deep reference here. Torchwood. You know what I'm talking about, folks. He was on Torchwood for a long time.
Oh yeah.
And Carl Glusman, who. Fun fact, just got divorced from Zoe Kravitz. He's also in this film. And the premise is this. A young woman moves into a new apartment with her fiancé, only to be tormented by the feeling that she is being stalked by an unseen watcher in an adjacent building. This gets some... the vibes I'm getting from this right away, and maybe I'm not sure if the three of you have seen this movie, and... God forbid I reference it here, but I have to because it's just a famous movie. Roman Polanski's The Tenant. That's all I'll say. Getting some Tenant vibes. What do you think?
Katie Reif, our friend of the pod over at the AV Club, said it kind of feels like a modern-day Giallo except with less stylish clothes.
Oh, so it sounds like 2022.
Yeah.
That sounds like okay. Someone's watching me, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, someone's watching me vibes. To that, yeah. So here,
someone's watching me.
So there's no spoilers, but Megan Navarro, who's been on this podcast a couple of times, I think she was on our 28 Days Later episode, which you can find on our Patreon, and she was on our Basic Instinct episode this season. She said, Watcher favors a slow, steady build without much action or thrilling sequences. Instead, Okuno opts to capture the psychological unraveling of her heroine in intimate, stylish fashion. Paranoia and claustrophobia become far more critical than a body count. It's a measured, moody psychodrama that allows Okuno to wear her influences on her sleeves, making them her own until one bloody and satisfying finale. All right.
I'm game.
Let's check it out. I'm looking forward to this. There's no release date yet, as of yet, but I'm assuming this will come out probably in late 2022. What do you folks think about that? What do you think? Because Vanderbilt, obviously, you've talked to Katie about it, who's seen it.
Yeah.
So how are you feeling about this?
She didn't recommend it to me out of the Sunday. Oh. I can't. She said, I don't know if you're going to really enjoy this one. Like, and she knows my style pretty well. I don't know. It sounds a little dull for my taste. And like, I like that she compared it to Giallo, which interests me. But part of the fun of watching Giallo is how visually stylish everything is, with all the bright colors and the cool and
everybody.
Outfits. And the...
Yeah, everybody is, right? Yeah. Like you said, the costumes that pop, the yellows and the reds that pop. And usually, I feel like everybody in Giallo movies, and I mean this with all the affection in the world, they're always wearing like yellow raincoats. You know what I mean? That's like, folks, it's 80 degrees outside. I mean, I know it looks great when the blood splashes on it, but come on.
They all just got their order from ModCloth, not ModCloth, Adam Retro. They do all the British style clothing. Look, they're Italian. They look cool. Yeah.
And none of the dubbing. Mac, what's your temperature on this?
Yeah, I'm down for a patient horror film. We're getting so many like in your face horror this year. It'll be a nice break from that, I think.
Caffrey, when you heard the title, did you immediately think of Dr. Dre's song "Watcher" from his the Dre 2000 album?
I'll be honest. I actually thought of "Watchers" by Dean Koontz.
Dude, I thought of the Corey Haim's in the original.
Yeah,
one, right.
The movie's pretty good. Right. Yeah.
And there's like three of them.
Yeah, it's I would argue. I mean, I've read, I don't know, 5 or 16 Koontz novels. It's definitely the one that stands out. I think it's the one that put him on the map. But hey, it has nothing to do with this movie, right? So no, I'm excited about it. I don't know. There seemed to be a lot of prestige horror being shown at Sundance this year. I mean, there's that Hatching movie, which all I know is that egg image from it. There's the You Won't Be Alone, which is the movie about an old witch. And of those three, this is probably the one I'm least excited about, just because the premise seems the least exciting. I'm not saying that means it'll be bad or that it won't blow the other two out of the water. But you know me, I like monsters. I like pops of color. I like freaky stuff. So yeah. I think just from a pure external marketing view, I'm a little bit more excited about
what if
some of the other ones making the festival circuit. But I'll see this one. Yeah,
what if Bern Gorman was wearing a cloud with a kite trail in this?
Would you go see it?
Would you be more excited about it?
Yeah, I think so. And if he starts spelling his name, well, I guess is his name with an E? Because that's a good horror.
It's a strip Bern. Burn.
Straight up Bern.
Well, Bern Dan, Gorman. I know that you love monsters, but can I interest you in some monsters? That's
right.
Rob
can.
Zombie.
Absolutely.
Rob Zombie's take on the Munsters to be announced date. I'm sure, much like Halloween Kills, it will be on Peacock. And this is starring, in my opinion, sincerely, a very underrated actor who seems to only do Rob Zombie movies for some reason. Daniel Phillips.
Yeah, he is good.
Very good actor. He was very good in Lords of Salem. He was also in the not-so-good 31. Wait, I do take it back. Wasn't he in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood? Mike Vanderbilt, you are the Once Upon a Time in Hollywood expert.
Let me look him up.
Look him up. I'll give the rest of this cast. We've got the great Sherry Moon Zombie back again. Daniel Roebuck, of course, in my opinion.
River's Edge.
He was not.
River's Edge.
Is not in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. He looks like he could be, though.
He was
in something good.
He was shooting Three from Hell.
All right, okay. It was a three. That's the great movie I was thinking. I always get Three from Hell in that movie.
It wasn't Satanic Panic. That movie wasn't good.
He was on Westworld for a bunch of episodes, Justin.
That's not what I'm thinking of. But anyway, but the most important thing I discovered a couple days ago is that the Seventh Doctor himself, Sylvester McCoy, is playing Igor in the Munsters. So, okay, all right. You have my... Speaking of Quentin Tarantino movies, though...
Sylvester
McCoy?
You
have my interest. Wait, what's the line?
you have my curiosity
or something like that?
Yeah.
All right, there we go. Anyway.
You have my curiosity, now you have my interest?
Sure. How do you not know this? You're the Tarantino head here.
I've probably seen Django the least, though.
All right, well, fair enough. I should also mention that... Jeff Daniel Phillips was in Zodiac. That's probably the movie I was thinking of. There you go. The great Zodiac. You know what? I will say this. As somebody who constantly pokes fun at a lot of the last, 15 years of Rob Zombie movies, except for Lords of Salem, which I do think is pretty good, I think that his style is perfect for this movie, though. I, you know what I mean? Because unless he tries to do a serious bend, which I really do not think he's going to do. See, I think this is going to be a... What do you think is going to happen there? Is he like a fucked up monster? What's going to happen?
For all the jokes online when it was announced and when the pictures came out, all that meme pinion, oh, he's casting Sherry Moon Zombie. Oh, he's going to make him hillbillies and listen to dinosaur rock music. You know, I
dinosaur
think...
Dinosaur rock music.
Dinosaur I think... Rock. That he, because he loves this property so much. I mean, of course, you know, he did do what he did with Halloween, but say what you will about Halloween 2, his Halloween 2, I can't sit here and say it's a good movie. At least it's different.
And it has a Monsters reference in it, too.
It's got half the cast in this.
The guy who owns the strip club is, I think, dressed as Herman Munster for Halloween, as he has sex with the stripper and the
Munsters are also in Licorice Pizza. At one point.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you see, isn't that John C. Reilly playing Fred Gwynn?
We're going to have a Munster Sans coming up, I think. But I think Rob Zombie, because he likes it so much, I really think he's going to turn into something that's actually fun and funny and captures the tone of the old series with, and maybe updates it just a little bit. I have faith in this one. And if not faith, I am definitely interested in what he's going to do.
Yes.
Because I think he's got a great eye. I don't like his writing so much. I know he's writing this one as well, I'm sure.
As always.
Pretty sure, yeah.
Because I like Lords of Salem until the ending, but even then the ending is fine.
Yeah.
That's
really
Rob Zombie.
That movie.
And he's, yeah, it's cool. You want to talk about something that's got some atmosphere to it, some ambiance. Yeah. I dig that one. Like you said, Justin, 31 stunk, though. And I've always had a bad taste in my mouth from when I was really excited for House of a Thousand Corpses, because I was still reading Fangoria pretty heavily at the time, and all the hullabaloo about how this movie's so scary, Universal dropped it, Lionsgate had to pick it up. And then I saw it, and it's like, it's fine, but it's silly. There is nothing scary in this movie. I was a bait and switch, but... I'm in for the monsters. Count me in.
You know, Vanderbilt mentioned dinosaur rock, which I'm still trying to figure out. Is he talking about like the album Electric Warrior?
Yeah, probably.
Vanderbilt got the joke, and now Caffrey gets the joke. Does Mac get the joke?
T-Rex.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I got it.
I got it. It's very funny.
Ultimately... Yeah, I'm actually very looking forward to this. I think it's all going to hinge on the trailer. Like you said, Justin, if it is tongue in cheek and it is zany and it is trying to be the Munsters, just Rob Zombie doing it, great, because I think that would be really fun and funny. What I would like to see, because if it was like the Munsters from that era in today, do you know what I mean? Like it'd be like fish out of water kind of thing. Situation. Like that could be really funny.
Well, they did the Munsters today in the 80s, if you remember.
That's right.
Well, they rebooted the Munsters in the 80s as the Munsters today.
The guy who played Herman Munster in that is the sheriff and Demon Knight who gets punched through the head by Billy Zane.
Wow.
How about that? How about that, nice. Paul? For you freaks out there, you like that?
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, the bar is set pretty low. But again, if this is a true blue comedy... Like, what are we comparing it to? Because he hasn't really done that in a while. So I'm very interested to see what he does with this.
Mac, let me tell you something I'm interested in. And this is a property that's near and dear to my heart. A film franchise that I like about 20 to 30% of, maybe even 40%. And that is Hellraiser, because Hellraiser is back.
Yes.
Directed by David Bruckner. And at first I thought to myself... As I always think to myself about 90% of movie press releases, why? But I will say this one has me a little intrigued. It's directed by David Bruckner, who very recently did a film called The Night House that came out last year that a few people here I know have seen and thought was pretty good. He did Ritual, which is available for anybody in the world to see on the Netflix channel. The Netflix channel. Am I 90 years old? But it is on the Netflix channel, folks. This movie is going to be starring Jamie Clayton as Pinhead. For all of you Sense 8 heads out there, this is a very intriguing casting, to say the very least. Pretty unknown cast, except for Goran Visnjic, who was in ER for years. Here's something I discovered today, too. Odessa Azion is playing a character maybe they changed the name, but this character's name is not in The Hellbound Heart by Clive Barker. So I'm wondering how much of a adaptation this is going to be, or are they just going to take, once again, and maybe positively, the Pinhead, the box, the Cenobites, and create a whole new story around that. Dan Caffrey, I know you're a really big Clive Barker head. How are you feeling about this new Hellraiser that's supposed to be coming out this year?
Look, there's nowhere to go but up with Hellraiser, right?
<That's true>. Speaking of a low bar that Max said about Munsters, I mean, this.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, I have not seen all those sequels. I just know their reputation. Yeah, I'm excited. I don't know. It's interesting that it's not based on The Hellbound Heart.
It could very well be. Maybe they just changed.
Could be.
The
I thought you were saying it was.
It could be.
No, yeah. No. Just do something else. Do something new, please, God.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Look, I'll go see it, right? I love Hellraiser. I love Clive Barker. To Mac's point, I mean, it's not like we haven't explored that universe plenty. I would say if we're doing the temperature thing, I would say this one's like maybe a, 70 degrees for me. Like, it's like it's more of a legacy kind of thing.
And it's like San Diego.
Yeah, exactly. Look at the seals, the seal Cenobites. There's just a seal with
the Cenobites.
The Cenobites. And I do like Hellraiser a lot, but I do drop off a little bit after Bloodline. And I love the comics, I love the book and everything, but it doesn't. I would say the franchise has dipped to the point where I don't have like that always coming back interest that I have in Halloween, like Halloween always does enough good to make me want to come back. And that's always going to be my favorite franchise. So, that's why I'm a mid cool 70 on this one.
And then for me, I feel like let's be optimistic, 50 years from now when we're at Mike Vanderbilt's funeral and they say, Justin, what's one of your longest lasting memories of Mike Vanderbilt? And I'll say, he always thought the Hellraiser 3 Hell on Earth was the best Hellraiser.
I said it was the best sequel, to be fair.
Oh, fair enough. But
I probably do enjoy it more than the first one. Why am I backtracking?
Shame hey, look, I have a soft spot in my heart for the third one, too. I'm not, I'm just saying.
It's so the Freddy Kruegerization of Pinhead.
It's the MTV version of Pinhead, for sure. Where do you sit on Hellraiser?
I checked the box on our list, but I really don't care because Hellraiser was just never one of my favorite franchises.
That's right.
To piggyback on what Dan said, you can only go up from here. But that's low, 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 lowered expectations.
I mean, this is a series that literally made movies in order to not lose rights.
I really hope they bring in a police procedural element, because that's always my favorite part of Hellraiser for film, when they bring in a police procedural element.
We're going to do it. This one's going to have the cops.
They did that in Inferno.
I know, they always do it.
They did it in Judgment.
They did it. Yeah, I'm at 100. I feel like this is the kind of thing that this is going to be a series, correct? Or is it a movie?
No, it's a movie. It's going to be on Hulu.
I think the series is still happening.
That's a whole different thing. Well. There's a series that is David Gordon Green is in charge of. And that's I think an HBO tied deal, but that hasn't really started production yet. So it's just two separate things.
Well, if this is not just a rehash, remake, redo of the original Hellraiser, I'm game. You don't need to do that. Like it, all you need is someone has opened up the box, and Pinhead shows up with the Cenobites and says his spiel. It could be anything. You could do it in any place, anywhere. You could have a child open up the box. There's so many things you could do with this franchise, and they keep doing the same thing or keep trying to capture that first movie. I'm like, and if you're gonna do that, then lean more into that, where Frank's the real killer and the Cenobites are just like a plot device to move the story along. Like if you're gonna do that, then don't lean on it. But the problem is that everyone knows Pinhead now. Everyone associates with that, so they're not gonna have the guff to, they're not going to have the bravery to do that.
Maybe they will. I do feel like no matter what we feel about the last, 28 years of, or 25 years of Hellraiser movies, I do feel like they're putting a little bit more care into this, at least. They're not just dumping this onto something. And this is a director of some note who's kind of coming up. You got an intriguing actor playing Pinhead. I think they're going to hopefully be taking some risks with this one.
Yeah, let me, and talking about taking risks, I think for a series that obviously has so many from the book on in the movies, so much roots in kink and BDSM, like bring some sex into it. Like it was kind of there in the first, but they've always, you know, they were always a little bit more cagey about it. Like I ain't saying make it a full on, you know, adult film, but be brave in that element. Like bring a little bit more of that in. They've always kind of teased it, but never went full throttle on it.
I mean, Dan, I think that the first movie is still pretty faithful, even in terms of the S&M aspect of it all. I think there are other Clive Barker stories that are far more sexual than The Hellbound Heart is. You know?
Honestly, I feel like Cabal and The Hellbound Heart are... He almost doesn't have a lot on the page. He's very impressionistic. He doesn't go really far into detail about what the Cenobites look like, just like he doesn't really go into detail about what the monsters in Nightbreed look like. It's more described in kind of surreal, vague terms. But the actual events, I mean, it's been a minute since I've read it, but I think the actual events, like the skeleton of the story beats in Hellbound Heart, it all happens in Hellraiser. I mean, and
it's a short novella.
It's a novella, just like Cabal is. Yeah, so I think that... It's weird. I almost feel like his more developed stories are the ones that where the adaptation falters a little bit.
Well, a lot of franchise movies coming out. I just realized, Jesus, we got Halloween, we got Texas Chainsaw,
and Munsters. That's franchise.
Hellraiser. You know what's coming out this year, folks? That doesn't have a release date. Evil Dead Rises. Directed by Lee Cronin, starring relative unknowns, Alyssa Sutherland, Lily Sullivan, Gabriel Eccles, Morgan Davies, Nell Fisher, Mia Chalice, a twisted tale of two estranged sisters whose reunion is cut short by the rise of flesh-possessing demons, thrusting them into primal battle for survival as they face the most nightmarish version of family imaginable. And folks, we announced it on social media, but yes, season 5 of Halloweenies is going to be all things Evil Dead. And I do mean all things, because with the Scream movies, you know, we had Randy's Rex because at the time there were only 4 Scream entries. But before we give our temperature on Evil Dead Rises, let's talk about what we're going to be doing. We're going to be doing the original trilogy, the Sam Raimi directed, Bruce Campbell starring The Evil Dead, Evil Dead 2, Dead by Dawn, Army of Darkness, which of course was originally titled Medieval Dead, which is still the greatest title that never was. We're going to be talking about the Fede Alvarez, you know, the guy who did the Coast story for the new Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the guy who said, let's get rid of the sequels and make a Texas Chainsaw Massacre sequel. We're going to do his movie. We're going to be covering, we have discussed exactly how we're going to kind of whittle it down to an episode or two, but we're going to be discussing the Starz Ash vs. Evil Dead series. That's 5 months right there. We're going to be ranking everything, of course. We're going to have a month or an episode devoted to the many video game adaptations, and we've got some exciting tie-ins with that that I think we'll be discussing in the weeks and months to come. And then, folks, that's 7 months right there. And we're starting this in March, which means that in October, guess what we're doing in October? Halloween Ends. All things Halloween. We're going back to Haddonfield once again in October.
Probably that not for the last time either.
Oh, absolutely not.
Definitely not.
Although, to be fair, the press release did say the Laurie Strode, Michael Myers saga comes to an end. So who knows?
Thank God. Finally.
Spine-chilling climax. Some things I've seen. They've already seen it.
So we'll be discussing all things. You know, we'll be doing the commentary for Halloween Kills, and we'll be doing some other fun stuff for Halloween, of course. Now, the question
We'll be due for a Halloween Season of the Witch commentary this year.
That's right.
You're right. That's going to be the
know a lot of people will be very excited for.
Yes, yes. And then, I forgot, we do have something to fill out in November. We'll be discussing it. You'll see our release date later on this year. But, and then December, you know what? A couple years ago, we did Black Christmas. This past December, we did Black Christmas. And guess what we're doing again? Black Christmas.
White Christmas.
In December.
With Bing Crosby.
Bing Crosby, of course.
Bing, boff, boom!
Now, November, Justin.
I was waiting for it.
November.
Oh, wait, Mac, what's November?
November is our Evil Dead ranking.
All right, well, then what am I missing? If you get everything there?
You're missing Evil Dead Rise. You didn't plug it in.
That I missed a goddamn new movie that's coming out. You're right.
Wow.
So we
don't
know
when it's going to come. That's why.
Yes. This is going to be dropping on HBO Max. So the good thing about this is that no matter what's going on in the world, this should not be affecting box office. I don't think that any release dates will be affected. So basically, we could put out a calendar saying, oh, you know, in March we're going to be doing Evil Dead and Evil Dead 2 in April. But when Evil Dead Rise comes out, that is going to be the episode for that month. And then we'll be pushed back the rest of the movies as we go on. But look, we won't get into rankings, obviously, but I do love that original trilogy quite a bit. And Sam Raimi, once again, is involved in this, but much like the Fede Alvarez Evil Dead, much like the new Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie, Sam Raimi did not write or direct this, but apparently he and Bruce Campbell and I believe Robert Tappert are very involved in the production of this movie. So, Mike Vanderbilt, is your temperature... Let's go with architecture. Are you in the in the ground floor? Are you in the lobby? Or are you in like the penthouse suite when it comes to Evil Dead Rise?
I'm over on floor 13. But if you notice, most buildings don't have a 13th floor.
The building I work in, that's I'm on the 12th floor, and then the 14th floor is right above us.
Yeah. You know what? I'm over like 50%. So I'm about like right in the middle of the building, because the Evil Dead movies, that, as you said, that original trilogy, grew up with them, love them. I mean, arguably three perfect films, possibly. We'll get to that later in the season, I'm sure. I'm not as big a fan of the remake, though, because I thought it kind of took a lot of the fun out of the Evil Dead films. Even that first film, which I think is absolutely terrifying, because it has that transgressive quality that maybe somebody actually got killed on that set. Films of that era. It's actually a lot of fun, and you can tell that these guys really weren't into horror movies as much as they were into comedy, and they knew that you can tell horror movie was going to make money, and they were going to go all out on it. So the synopsis of Evil Dead Rise kind of falls flat for me with a little bit, because when they bring up the idea of estranged sisters, I'm afraid they're going to try and make it important. That doesn't necessarily have to be with that description, because I think they need to lean more into the fun to really make this a true Evil Dead film. Because Ash versus the Evil Dead, on the other hand, which I think was very silly, I thought they betrayed the character of Ash a little bit, making him so unlikable that it betrayed that Ash that we met through 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to talking about that series, which I did like more often than not.
A new Evil Dead movie with the original guys involved, let's see. But like I said, the remake, the original remake didn't do much for me. So maybe if they go in a different direction from that, I'll dig it.
Maquis.
Yeah, you know, when I read the initial synopsis for this, I just can't get Demons 2 out of my head. But, you know, not to say that they've cornered the market on possession films or whatever, but you know, if it's a new take on that, I'm with you there, Vanderbilt, on the sisters thing. But you know, I mean, I guess if you read the plot to Evil Dead, you know, and the dynamic between Ash and his sister and stuff in that movie, like, you could maybe think that was going to be serious. But I gotta believe that if Raimi, Tapper, and Campbell are that involved, it's going to definitely still feel in the spirit of Evil Dead. And honestly, if you're looking, it's not like they decided to go back to serious with Ash versus Evil Dead. If anything, they get more campy and more comedy central. So I have a feeling that this will probably be really fun and funny film, I would think, right? So
I want that balance, I guess, to what you're saying, that balance that the Evil Dead movies kind of mastered.
I agree. I'm interested. I'm on the, I mean, how many floors in this building? I'm closer to the penthouse, because I generally, you know, I'm just a bit, I don't want to give my, I don't want to start ranking things, because I could rattle them off, but I'm very generally interested in this. So we'll see.
Well, Lee Cronin, who's directing this, also wrote it. So this is a kind of, I hate when people use this too much, but it is auteur-driven. You know, this is somebody's vision that he's putting onto the big screen, or should I say the small screen on HBO Max, coming soon. Caffrey,
I'm looking at his other movies, and
not a lot.
Just done shorts mostly, and all the posters look a little dour, but maybe that's just how they sell horror movies now. I don't know.
We shall see. But I know, Caffrey, you said you almost quit the podcast. You said, I don't want to be a part of this. I don't want to talk. No, I'm kidding.
This is the one thing he doesn't like.
The one
he
thing Caffrey doesn't like.
He fucking hates the Evil Dead.
I said, look, no. We're doing the Transformers movie for 7 months or bust.
We will figure it out.
One minute of the Transformers movie, minute by minute.
Yeah.
But no, how are you feeling about this this new entry, Caffrey? Are you on the ground? Mac, you know, I apologize. Real quick, Mac. You in the lobby or you in the penthouse? Where are you? What floor are you on?
I said I'm closer to the penthouse. I'm
closer to the penthouse.
They haven't given me a reason to start doubting it yet. I mean, as soon as we start seeing anything from it, or as soon as more details come out, I might start. You know, that I might start taking the elevator down a couple of floors. But
fair enough. Caffrey.
Yeah, I think I'm with Mac. I'm excited because I'm excited to discuss it on the pod. It's funny. Evil Dead, I like a lot. I've never been obsessed with it. At the same time, I don't think it has a bad entry, like, at all, especially this first three. I mean, it's like kind of a holy trinity. I'm with Vanderbilt. I don't hate the remake. I did find it a little joyless. It didn't seem like it was having a ton of fun the way the first one does. Like, the first one's still able to feel dangerous and strange while still kind of winking at you, and I really appreciate it. I just think that's like a Raimi-ism, and maybe it was wrong for me to expect that from the remake because it's a completely different writer and director. And I actually haven't watched Ash versus Evil Dead. So maybe once I do, that will get me closer to the penthouse. But yeah, it's a high quality series. I'm just excited to go into another season and talk about it all. And other than the first two, I probably haven't rewatched Army of Darkness and the remake that much, and obviously the show. So I feel like there's actually more for me to discover in this franchise than maybe something like Halloween or, you know, Jason or some of the other movies we've covered.
Yeah, I mean, I love those first three especially, and the show. And I also wasn't that high on the remake, but I know that that's got a huge following. And I know that Mike Rothman, who's on this episode, is actually a pretty big fan.
He covered it for the AV Club. So if any listeners want to go check out his old reviews on there.
Oh yeah, of the series. But I'm saying of the Fede Alvarez movie. He likes
them both.
Too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I just think it's going to be a lot of fun. You know, the thing about the Evil Dead movies is that not only do we like them, but I think there's a lot that we genuinely think are just flat out great.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't really say that about a lot of the movies. There's been some franchises that we've covered, obviously, that we like a lot. You know.
Yeah.
But a lot of them are kind of just like, yeah, they're just good fun. But you could argue, and people will argue for all. Honestly, at this point, all four of those movies in terms of greatness, not just it's pretty good, but greatness.
Well,
we're looking forward to figuring out what makes those movies tick. And really, all four of those movies are different from one another, which is also kind of fascinating for this for being part of a franchise.
We don't get
from
that.
Most of the same creative team through all of them.
We also don't get that, like, I mean, kind of like Scream in a way, actually. I mean, but there's a little bit more to cover than there's for Scream. We don't get that slog period either, you know? Like with Halloween, even though I love a lot of the movies, the timeline shit just gets really exhausting. Like there's so much you have to cut. There's so much like rigmarole you have to cover with Halloween and Jason. And honestly, even Friday the 13th and Freddy 2, because there's so many entries. There's all these different fucking timelines. There's a bunch of really questionable decisions throughout. Evil Dead doesn't really have that. Like I think it will stay really fun and light, not light that we're not delving into it, but like springing on its feet. I don't think there's ever going to be a stretch of this season where we're going to feel like we're banging our heads against the wall.
Going to be a fun time, man.
It's gonna be a fun time. Obviously, it's just a lot of fun talking all this stuff with all of you folks. I know some of you have been talking about this stuff for decades now, so it'll be fun to go into this year with some more fun material. And I mean, we could talk about Evil Dead all night, but why not just do it all year? So let's stop the episode right here. And if you haven't subscribed to our Patreon, please do. patreon.com/Halloweenies pod. For January, we did audio commentary for I Know What You Did Last Summer. And we also did a full movie review podcast on John Carpenter's Prince of Darkness. Now, the next episode you'll hear on this main feed is going to be our big Scream season finale. We're going to rank the Scream movies, and I'm going to say it here in recorded fashion so you have to hold us to it. Because there's only five movies to rank, it won't take that long, but we'll also rank the killers. Huh? That sounds fun. Everybody in the video is like, oh my God, what am I going to fucking do? Oh my God. It's going to be a lot of fun.
There's only one great set of killers in that series.
That'll be the challenge of ranking 3 through 7, won't it? Or 4 through 9, whatever the fuck it is. That'll be in February, and we got a great season 5 ahead after that. So, but of course, until then, this is the last time we're going to say this catchphrase.
We'll be right back.
This is the end of our show. For now. We hope you enjoyed this production. If you like our programming, consider searching for other Bloody Disgusting podcasts, such as Creepy, Horror Queers, The Boo Crew, SCP Archives, Nightlight, Margaret's Garden, and more.